Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdgasm Podcast, the podcast where we talk about things that are nerdy, but sometimes we don't always have something to talk about that's naughty. I am the cheddar cheese known as Merlin Sensei. With me is a delicious Asiago cheese known as the 12-sided guy. And then, of course, we've got a little bit of a Colby Jack known as Switch Riggs, and that makes us a tasty three-cheese blend that are taking you to Flavor Town this week. Our wonderful friend the Mupacabra is dealing with a few things IRL, and she unfortunately will not be joining us this week. She is also one of our main contributors when it comes to the naughty side of things, because she has a naughty mind, she's a naughty woman, and she's getting naughty almost on the daily. So, unfortunately, that section of things may be omitted this week. That being said, thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
Wow, end of the episode right fast. There.
Speedrun. Episode name, Speedrun.
Yeah, right. This week, though, you're definitely going to be getting a lot about video game news from us. Because wibbly wobbly timey wimey, earlier in the week there was not only a Nintendo Direct, but the very next day there was a PlayStation State of Play, online announcements and talking about stuff. And I haven't seen the video, but I believe earlier today, wibbly wobbly again, was the Tokyo Game Show. Oh. And, of course, they always talk about stuff like that, but I haven't looked into it because I'm stupid.
I haven't looked at it either. I'm normally on top of everything.
Yeah,
I just work too much. Who's telling me to keep track of things? You American know, right? Time Lords.
American. Let's go ahead and try and flip-flop around, so to speak. And we'll talk about maybe something Nintendo, then something PlayStation, and kind of go like that instead of, you know, driving down a straight and narrow highway, so to speak. I will go ahead and get started. One thing that I am excited for that was in the Nintendo Direct was Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe Edition. So for those of you that are unaware, Kirby's Dream Land was one of the first instances of Kirby coming to a Nintendo console, and Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe is, of course, going to be a reimagining and a bigger version as well as updated graphics of that story, if I remember correctly, including some extra bonuses such as the new mech copy ability that basically turns you into a living Kirby Gundam.
Yeah, quite seriously. I think you also get four player in this one as well.
Exactly. You can play with up to four players, and when this comes out, I talked to Mo Guns, and you might just see a two-player 100% completion coming out on the Nerdgasm YouTube of me and Mo Guns playing it.
I'd like to hear that. So, I'd love to hear Mo Guns' voice. That would be great.
I know, right?
Love his voice.
Love his voice, too. I love that man.
How familiar are you with the Kirby lore? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Basically, the TLDR is Kirby is a reincarnation of the Death God, if I remember correctly.
Something like, yeah, he's basically like a unfinished god soldier.
But he became good or something like that. It's almost like the story of Goku to an extent. It's like he was sent here to destroy, but then he became good, and you know, or something. You know what I mean? So, but personally, I'm down. I'm good. You know, love me some Kirby.
Maybe Kirby just changed his ways when he left Link's Awakening in the dream.
So you could, right?
Because Kirby's in that, actually, in one of the dungeons. Actually tries to hurt you.
It's true.
But it was all a dream.
True. Well, don't forget, also, Also in Link's Awakening, there are Goombas and Chain Chomps.
Chain Chomps are grand.
Yeah.
I've beaten that one.
Miss Bow Wow.
Yeah, I actually have a full playthrough of that on my channel. On
I would say you've got the Switch version, correct?
I do. I love a little like cartoon version of him like that.
I know. It looks so good. It's definitely on my list to pick up one of these days, because Link's Awakening was my first Legend of Zelda game, and I just absolutely love it.
I think number two was mine. Like the
side like song. Zelda 2, yeah, yeah. The Adventures of Link?
Yes. Oof.
Started rough.
That's rough, man.
I loved it personally, but
I don't blame you. With that real quick, we are getting Twilight Princess and I think Wind Waker to the Switch. I know we're getting Twilight Princess.
Is that confirmed?
Yes, Twilight Princess was confirmed in the Direct.
I was going to say, something was definitely confirmed. Was Twilight Princess confirmed? Because I thought they just confirmed... Well, you know, kind of spoilers for what I sort of wanted to keep towards the end, but The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
We'll talk.
You know
about
what I mean?
That later.
But yeah, I thought that the big thing was people were like, "Oh, no word on Twilight Princess or Majora's Mask
sources.
Or anything like that." So,
because
I know
Mask.
That, yeah. Because I would love Wind Waker on the Switch, personally. Like, honestly, even if they just port over the Wii U version, I'd kind of be okay with that, as long as they're only asking, like, $35. You know what I mean? Don't you fucking dare release that back to us and be like, 60! It's like, fuck you.
Oh, they will. You know they will.
Yeah, look, I know they will. Okay, you can charge us 60 if you put Wind Waker and Twilight Princess together.
Yeah,
you know, that. I'll meet you halfway, Nintendo. Okay, let's go ahead and jump over to PlayStation real quick. One big one that I know a lot of people are going to be excited about. Personally, it's not my type of thing. I'm not into fighting games, but Tekken 8 was announced. So for all of you huge Tekken fans that are out there, and I know that there's a lot, like a lot of people really like the Tekken series because they feel it's a more technical game than a lot of other fighters out there. I'm sure they're excited for the release of Tekken 8.
Well, and this one's interesting insofar as, to the best of my knowledge, it is the first one that's outside of the whole, like, Devil Gene... family blood feud saga that's been going on for all the last 7 games.
You say that, but I mean, like, one of the main characters that they showed in the trailer has the devil gene, and like when he does his power move, he gets the
black
the wing and
over,
like,
reportedly, so.
But we'll see what happens. So I know that that's something that a lot of people are excited about. Speaking of a lot of people being excited, as we jump back to Nintendo, Octopath Traveler 2 has been announced. And I know that a lot of people are excited for that, including Switch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I played the first one. Haven't finished it. And that's something I was considering and adding on to the channel, actually. Because I like that, you know, I like the retro style, but it's fully voice acted at the same time. You know, and
it looks like an interesting game. I don't necessarily know if it's for me because I do love JRPGs, but 8 different characters to play as almost seems like a bit too much for me personally, you know, but that's all I'm saying on that one is just for me personally, not to say it's bad, but it's just a lot for me.
It's like changing jobs, essentially, each time you switch over, because they can start, you know, both having 2 jobs at once, and then they'll combine into better things. So you don't have to be running, you know, all 8 at once. You only run 4 at a time. But it's interesting because some enemies are affected by certain spells or certain weapons more than the another one. You have to kind of figure out which characters you need to work with in each area, which... It's an interesting setup.
Okay.
Nice
well,
to
still,
it's relatable, though.
Sounds cool.
2 jobs in this economy. That seems pretty...
Right?
Something that's kind of Sony and Nintendo right now is the Resident Evil series coming on to the
I was going to now I was going to get to that. There is one I almost want to say fatal flaw in that, in the fact that it is coming to Switch, but it is the cloud versions of 8 and 7 that are coming to the Switch. And notoriously, at least based on the Kingdom Hearts cloud version, the cloud versions of the games are not very optimized and are kind of caca-poo-poo.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how they do. Maybe they'll work on it a bit more, because Nintendo really doesn't really hit the online market very much.
Yeah.
But it's 8, 7, and 2, and 3, by the way.
Ah, 2 and 3.
Yes.
Speaking of 2 and 3, I don't remember if it was part of the PlayStation recap, and I mean, we all kind of knew what was going to happen, but I believe it's been super-duper officially announced that there will be a remake of 4 coming to PS5 first, I believe, and then I'm assuming a small time later, you know, there will be a PC port. And Resident Evil 4 is a heavy hitter among a lot of people. They feel it ticks all the, you know, dopamine boxes for a Resident Evil series. You know, it's the perfect mesh of solving puzzles and killing zombies, but also, you know what I mean, being a super badass motherfucker that's just going around, you know, Leon Kennedy style, Leon, help! You know, and stuff like that. You gotta save the president's daughter! Are you a bad enough dude? But, yeah, so a lot of people definitely excited about that. Let's go ahead and stick with PlayStation for just half a second as we talk about PlayStation VR 2. Personally, I will probably never own PSVR 2 or anything like that, but for those that do, you've got two kick-ass games that got announced recently. You have Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge Enhanced Edition, which, as the name implies, is a enhanced version of the Tales from the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars stories, you know, being upgraded and ported up to PS5 so you can use it with PSVR 2. And the one that really blew me away, and I'm kind of pissed that it's going to be for PSVR 2, is a game called Demio. It is a tabletop RPG that takes place in VR, and it looks very, very cool. Now, when I saw it, Mo Guns was here, and we were actually watching the State of Play and stuff like that, and I was like, if they had released something like this for the Wii U, when it was big at the time, and like the Dungeon Master would have the like Wii U tablet, and then everybody else would be playing, it would have made millions. But, you know, Demio, sure, it's kind of whatever. I think it would have been cool if it had released on PC, and maybe it will, considering it's VR, maybe you'll be able to use your, VR machines or whatever they're called, because I can't think of Oculus, you know, all that good stuff.
That's a brand.
Well, right. Maybe, just maybe, they'll release it and you can use a Steam machine with it so that the, you know, Dungeon Master could go ahead and have his Steam machine and he's doing stuff while other people are playing. Like, sky's the limit, you know.
There are actual
we'll see what happens.
Games on Steam that are similar to that, actually. It's not Demio, but there is a tabletop like world simulator where you can, you know, have VR headsets and be able to go into the world and things like that. Tabletop simulator actually does do that, so any game you're playing, you could play with that.
True. Hand of Fate kind of has a little bit of that kind of feel to it, in my opinion, where you play your cards and you go around the map and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Little skill, little bit of card lock in that one. Definitely a really good roguelite. Both of them, Hand of Fate 1 and 2.
Well, jumping back over to...
On the subject of VR, though, what's your guys' experiences with VR? Have you tried it really yet?
When I was a technician, an arcade technician at my last job, I was there... not only for what we called like a 4D experience, which is when you sit in this like small theater and the seats move and you have a light gun and you can shoot at like zombies on the screen or whatever pop up. Like I've done that and I've fixed that when it's broken down and stuff like that. But we also set up little virtual reality pod stations, kind of. We had three up and running in which, it was basically just making sure everything worked, everything was charged and stuff like that. And this was before headsets became wireless effectively, and they just had like the battery pack or whatever, you know what I mean? I think that was called like the Oculus Frontier, but that's not the right name, or something like that. But we had to replace the headset cords a lot because we had them set up on a zip line, basically, you know, to go up and down and stuff like that, but loose enough that you could put it over your head. But those wires would get crimped and all kinds of jacked up stuff, you know what I mean? And people just don't care when it's not their stuff. But I have extensive hands-on words.
Well, I see some of the VR gaming news that comes out, and some of the criticism I see is that you can tell the people that make the games for VR are so not also the people that use VR, because they're always simulating like an office or a bar, or, you know, just like very, it's like, no, it's
there are some places. Yeah. There are some VR titles, though, that we were able to get our hands on that I was like, oh, this is actually legitimately cool. What's the one game? Super Hot in VR. Oh my God, that is fun as shit. Super Hot is the game where when you move, the rest of the world moves with you, you know what I mean? So if you're standing perfectly still, you can look around and see where the enemies are and stuff like that. But as soon as you start to move, they move and they're shooting guns and you have to avoid the bullets and you almost feel like you're in the Matrix. It's a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I actually own my own. Unfortunately, it's up there right now. But yeah, I have a Microsoft MV, which is multi, whatever, but it's a VR headset. It's just they wanted it to be different. It's actually made by Dell.
You're getting the Dell,
virtual boy. Yeah, the virtual boy is ready to destroy your eye sockets.
My virtual boy is over there in my closet.
Oh, respect.
I have two games for it: Red Alarm and Mario Tennis.
There you go. But the
that means I only need 11 more to finish my collection.
The VR headset at home is actually really nice. Being able to play like Super Hot. I mainly played horror games actually. And the scariest thing I ever experienced in it, because I was just going along and I see a statue and I'm like, oh, it has a baby, and I pass by, whatever. And I'm busy doing a puzzle, and finish the puzzle, your phone rings, which is on your hip, so you have to look down to grab it with your button. And when I look down, there's this little statue baby looking at me and jumps and freaks and right at my face. I'm like, ah! I yelled so loud, my person that was two floors above me heard me, thought something was wrong. I was like, no, it's fine. Just fine. Just playing horror games. But Beat Saber is number one. I will say,
Beat Saber is huge on it. If you use VR chat, there are a lot of community created rooms and stuff like that can be very, very cool and very, very free to explore.
Oh, yes, definitely. I was looking into making my own avatar for all that for a little while, but I was like, oh, that's a lot of artwork. Never mind.
Yeah. Nintendo.
It takes two.
How about Well, I was going to say, It Takes Two is getting ported to Nintendo Switch, which I think is fantastic. That game has won quite a few awards, and, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it deserves the accolades that it's received, and I highly recommend you play it, comma, but, you know, in certain circumstances, it will hit you in the feels. And that's all I want to say about it. But it is a fantastic game. Go ahead, check it out. It is required that you have two players to play it. It is not a single-player game at all. However, if you own a copy of the game and you want to play with somebody else, you are given a code that you can give to your friend and they can play it with you, but it has to be via local wireless. So you both have to be in the same place playing on two Switches, I believe.
That's one way. But if you can play over the internet with somebody, you can do that, or you can play on the same Switch.
They do have the
ability. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
So couch co-op is back, baby.
Love me some couch co-op.
Okay. I'm going to give you one, and then you can
yes,
switch.
Yes.
Nope, one I'm good. Waiting for is Front Mission. One is coming out in October here.
I did see that. And then soon after that.
Yeah, soon after that is Front Mission 2 remake. And then somewhere,
and then sometime after that,
in 2024, they're saying is number 3. So they're just doing the whole entire series. They're just like,
that's right.
We're gonna assume you're gonna like it, so let's put all of them, you know, out and get you all hyped.
So, absolutely. I think I'm gonna go ahead and hit some of these a little bit rapid fire now, because I'm sure as much as you all love to hear us gush about, you know, our love of video games and all that different stuff, we are 20 minutes in, surprisingly. So I'll go ahead and rapid fire. If either of you want to go ahead and note certain ones that you think maybe sound cool or you maybe heard about and want to talk to, we can always loop back around. Sound good? Cool. Like a Dragon, Ishin, originally Japanese exclusive, is being ported to America in a higher upgraded version. Sometime in February 2023, a game called Pacific Drive was featured. I'm curious to see how this goes because it almost looks like a version of Death Road to Canada, but with much better graphics. So I'm curious to see what this game is going to be able to provide. There is a game called Sinduality, which basically talks about how sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and it happens in a dystopian, you know, world where you explore post-apocalyptic stuff, looking for resources and stuff like that. A game called Stellar Blade, which was formerly called Project Eve, is going to be coming out. I believe that's actually from a Korean company, or at least I believe that's what the voiceover was, so I don't have a lot of information about that. Rise of the Ronin. Originally, when I saw this trailer, I thought it was for the new Assassin's Creed that happens during, you know, the Edo period, I want to say. But Rise of the Ronin just looks absolutely badass, and from the looks of things, you are a samurai cowboy ronin, you know, and stuff like that. Like, you carry a revolver and you got the katana. It just looks, oh my god. And that's one of the games where I was like, maybe I need to think about a PS5. Of course, God of War Ragnarok was announced with a special edition God of War Ragnarok controller also hyped up beside it. And the biggest thing that makes me sad about God of War Ragnarok coming out is we can no longer make the joke that if this isn't God of War, this is Dad of Boy. You know, we're going to have to come up with a new joke like Dad of Teen or something like that.
Something.
So those are kind of like the big ones from the PlayStation state of play. I may have missed one or two. Forgive me for that. You know, I'm just trying to hit some of the highlights. Speaking of highlights, for the Nintendo Direct.
Hold on. I would like to do the N64 lineup, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So coming out, I think it's out right now, for N64 games, you can play Mario Party, Mario Party 2. Mm-hmm. And Mario Party 3. And soon, we'll be getting Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, Pilot Wings, okay, 1080, Snowboarding, Excite Bike 64, and then our long-awaited GoldenEye.
With online multiplayer functionality.
That'll be interesting, and we're gonna have
slappers only, no odd job. Let's go.
I was gonna say, did they fix odd job?
No.
They're not gonna fix odd job. Yeah. Can't wait to run.
That was huge. On a side note, apparently GoldenEye is available in the Xbox store as well. I don't know which version of GoldenEye. I don't think it's necessarily the same GoldenEye. It's, you know, the Xbox version. But they've said that they're not going to do online multiplayer capabilities. Again, I don't know if it's the same version or if it's, you know, whatever it is. But still. Yeah. So, looking very excited to that. Was talking with Mo Guns. He and I are probably going to go in on the family plan for online. Speaking of Nintendo 64, though, they did, or not Nintendo 64, but like the Nintendo Pass, which gives you the access to Nintendo 64 games, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe announced its Wave 3 courses that are going to be coming out. Those courses will include Merry Mountain from Mario Kart Tour, which I believe was the mobile game app version, Peach Gardens from Mario Kart DS, and, you know, a few others that I can't remember off the top of my head for some reason. But look forward to those. Proprietary, ownership titles, you know, stuff like The Legend of Zelda, you know, and Mario and stuff like that. Fire Emblem Engage was announced, in which you are, it looks like a descendant of Marth, potentially. And you have his heirloom ring or something, which allows you to go ahead and summon the spirit into yourself. But there are also heirloom rings that belong to other old Fire Emblem heroes throughout the ages. And you're basically charged with finding those rings and interacting with the souls to do something and, you know, bring peace to the land because Fire Emblem. Also, after years and years and years, Pikmin 4 has been announced for the Nintendo Switch, coming in 2023. Just Dance 2023 edition is going to be coming out. I know that Osaka is going to be pumped about that. She's a big fan of the Just Dance series. We've got your standard farming sims such as Fae Farm, Rune Factory 3, what was the other one that I mentioned?
Seasons,
Story of Seasons, A New Life, basically. Which is, you know, Harvest Moon, GameCube edition, A Wonderful Life. Harvestella, I believe, was another one. They announced two new playable characters for Mario Strikers Battle League coming out. It's going to be...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Paulina and Diddy Kong.
Did you see that model for Paulina? Damn.
I know, right?
I don't even play the game.
Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line. If you're a fan of the Theater Rhythm games, the Final Fantasy, you know, games where you get to play the music and stuff like that, and you can kind of, you know, see how the adventures go from, like, Final Fantasy 1 all the way through and stuff like that, but via music is going to be coming out, and then there's going to be 90 additional songs added with paid DLC later that are going to be songs from the Nier series, aka like Nier Automata and stuff like that, and the Saga series, which I believe they announced a new Saga game too.
But they are redoing Tales of Symphonia, the remaster.
Yes, I did see that. Very excited about that. I will say this: they're doing Tales of Symphonia, which is cool. Give me Skies of Arcadia.
Yes, I would play the crap out of that again. I actually beat that once.
Never played it, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Very good. Yes, when they give us Skies of Arcadia, I'll be happy. They'll probably do it on a GameCube virtual store, though.
Splatoon 3 came out last week?
Yes.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. And they announced Splatfest, the post-release Splatfest, which is talking about if you're going to a deserted island, what are you going to bring with you? Some gear, some grub, or some fun? So you go ahead and choose your side between Big Guy, Fry, and what's the last one's name? But since there are like three main character people that are on Octo TV or whatever, you have three choices now in your Splatfest instead of the normal two. A game called IB is being released for Nintendo Switch. Now, this was originally available on PC. I actually watched someone play it. It's actually a fantastic little indie game that I highly recommend you go ahead and check out. It looks very fun. Speaking of games that originally came out on PC and are being ported, Tunic! You know, what some are calling a cross between Legend of Zelda and Dark Souls, almost, starring a little teeny tiny fox main character, is coming out on Switch September 27th. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion is going to be coming out. Radiant Silver Gun, which is a classic arcade shmup, aka shoot 'em up. The long-awaited Bayonetta 3 got a little bit of love shown for it. I still need to go and get me the Bayonetta 1 and 2 combo switch pack. Again, I missed out on that when it was available on Wii, but games look fantastic, of course. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion pass 2 was mentioned. They talked a little bit more about Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Switch Sports Golf is coming out.
I actually play a lot of the Nintendo Switch Sports. Not recently, but definitely it's worth a play. If you liked all the sports games on the Wii, I highly recommend it. But yeah, golf's fun playing, and there's going to be like a 6-player or 8-player like shootout kind of game too with it. And I find that's going to be cool.
Atelier Ryza 3, Alchemist of the End and the Secret Key. It's another in the Atelier or Atelier series, which has been around for a long time. I actually have two Atelier games that are for the PS3, and I know there have been a ton released since then. So even though it says 3, that specifically refers to Atelier Ryza, that particular Alchemist. So this is the third installment starring them, and so on and so forth. One game that I saw that looked very interesting, Master Detective Archives Rain Code. It looks like it's from the creators of Danganronpa, which I'm not really a huge fan of, but I might give it a pass because I do like games like, the Nonary game series and stuff like that. So, 6 in one hand, half dozen in the other. We'll see what goes ahead and happens with that. Couple more ports that are being taken to the Switch. Sifu, highly recommend that. You start off as, I believe, an 18 or 19-year-old martial arts trainee, effectively, and someone kills your master, and you have to go get revenge. if you lose on your quest for vengeance, a year passes in game time. You get a little bit weaker, but your skills grow because you're learning more, but your physical body is starting to break down because you're getting older. So it's really kind of one of those interesting, well, you know, do I try and, like, brute force my way? Can I make it through at age 19? Or do I just throw away 5 years or something right away to grow, you know, my expertise? You know, it's kind of risk reward almost, but I hear it's a very fun game, very fluid with a lot of their actions and attacks and stuff like that. Fatal Frame, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse is going to be coming to Switch. I think that's going to be really cool with motion controls as you control the camera obscura. One game that's coming out that really let me and Mo Guns down is Fitness Boxing Fist of the North Star. We saw Kenshiro show up on the screen, and we are all like, oh, you know, and we were like, what's it going to be? Is it going to be a new fighting game, or is it going to be like a story mode game? What's it going to be? Fitness boxing. Left, right, punch. It's like, oh my god. You know what looks surprisingly fun for, like, no reason? SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake.
That one, you know, does look interesting.
It looks fun for no reason. It's SpongeBob, something happens, Plankton's probably involved, and he's, you know, shot through time or whatever, and there's different eras, and he meets, you know, the descendants of characters in Bikini Bottom and stuff like that. And you get different abilities based on different SpongeBobs that have been featured in the series, if that makes sense. Like, you have SpongeWord, where he puts the belt around his head and he looks like Squidward. I saw Chicken SpongeBob, SpongeGar, you know, like, all kinds. I saw Marching Band SpongeBob, which, of course, everybody knows that episode. So it looks surprisingly fun. And I never thought I'd say that about a SpongeBob game. A game called Oddballers is going to be coming out to Switch, which is basically super crazy dodgeball with different mechanics depending on which map you're playing on. And you can play with up to 6 friends in local and online play. So who knows, maybe that's something the Nerdgasm team will look into in the future. If you'd like to see us play Oddballers, go ahead and send us a message, either reply in the comments to this video, or go ahead and look us up on Twitter and say, hey, go play Oddballers. Another fan favorite PC game, Factorio, is being ported to the Switch, and I think that's a fantastic idea. You can go ahead and take your factory with you on the go. You know, if you've got a bus ride or something like that to school, to work, whatever, if you're just traveling, boom, Factorio. Mm-hmm. Also being ported over, Endless Dungeon, again, with multiplayer online co-op, procedurally, excuse me, generated dungeons that you can go ahead and go through with your friends. We already talked about the front missions coming out, and that looks like it. Excuse me.
That's a long list of what's coming out for the holidays.
It is. I mean, a lot of them are ports, but that's kind of okay. You know what I mean? It helps get console players into different games that maybe they didn't have access to before.
Definitely. So, do you have anything, 12, before I get to some semi, not controversial, but can't confirm news?
Honestly, with what I'm looking at the time, I say let's just keep on rolling.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So, semi can't confirm, but it's floating around the internet right now, is that DayZ from Nintendo is actually considered now transgender. This has hit like 4 or 5 places. I saw it on TikTok, but I cannot find the original post. So I'm feeling like somebody was just trying to make some hype for it.
Now, I know Birdo canonically is transgender.
Yes. But yeah, there's someone, I saw a couple of places, but there's nowhere on Twitter that I can find the actual post. And it shows it's from Nintendo of America, but again, it's not a high quality picture, so they can hide stuff in that little bit of pixelation.
I just don't feel like, don't get me wrong, if Daisy was transgender, cool, more power to you, you know what I mean? But I just feel like Nintendo wouldn't announce that, like, out of the blue, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, they'd announce that, and then, you know, there'd be, like, maybe a Daisy game or something. I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, I just see a lot of it. There's a lot of people that consider Daisy as a transgender character, but there's nothing official that I can find besides a picture. I'd rather have the original
She's treat. Definitely more of a tomboy princess, in my opinion, than Peach. So, you know, if it were like, hey, you know, which princess is transgender, then I'd be like, yeah, I could see Daisy being transgender. And like I said, that's fine. Awesome.
Yeah. But that's a little bit of unconfirmed news, but it would be interesting if it was true.
That's right. Do not take our word for it.
No.
Definitely. What games are going to be coming out, Switch?
Oh. I only pulled up two that I was like, those deserve a mention. For one's for funsies and two for a game that I played so much when I was younger and now is being remade. First one is Construction Simulator Extended Edition. You can do all of your fantasies of being a construction worker from home in a safe environment where you can make OSHA violations all day. For $34.99 coming out on Monday.
$34.99 for a simulator game? I don't, like, I know that a lot of people love their simulators. Like, I know that there is a community out there that goes nuts for Farming Sim. You know, that's why they make a new version every year. But I don't know. It just, I don't see it, you know, should have that high of a price tag personally. But again, I'm not the market.
I've highly considered getting the Trucking Simulator. To do with my friends, because you can play online together. I thought that'd be hilarious.
But I think I have Trucking Sim 2 for PC.
There you go. Before I go on, did you have anything to say, 12? It seems like you're trying to cut you off there. No? Alright. Second, go.
I was going to say, 12 does, did bring up to us one game at the very least that has, to put it mildly, an interesting story to it.
So let me bring that up real quick so I can cite the title correctly. But it is a video game that lets you feel what it's like to raise a trans child in Texas. Which, you know, for those of you that don't know, Texas is people are fleeing the state, basically. So that's a thing. Where is it here? As I am just washed out on screen right now from the
Don't worry, it took me 3 seasons to go and figure out my lighting, and only now am I normal looking.
Portrait of a Texas Family is the name of the game. And it has, for our listeners, it has a sort of Dream Daddy aesthetic to it, so it's one of those, you know, characters pop up in the dialogue. It looks decent for what it is. And it looks like it goes towards helping people. Some of the funds go towards helping people escape the trouble going on in Texas right now. So,
it's not the tagline necessarily, but a word from the creators. It looks like that's at least in the article that 12 sent to me is we wanted the player to feel the love and care, but also the anxiety and worry, and ultimately the hope. While navigating society, it's an interesting idea. I think it comes from a good place. you know, that wants to help and maybe explain, you know, like, because the only way I could assume, and again, I'm assuming, is that the creator has lived through this effectively. Yes. That would be my best guess. Yeah. In my opinion, that's the only way anyone should have the ability to create a game like that, like this, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're
actually speaking for an audience, but or from a group that is not reflected by them, yes, I could see that.
You know, that way, you know, things aren't misinterpreted. You know what I mean? Because only a family, you know, that's raised a transgender child would know how to write about,
yes,
you know, a family that's brought up a transgender child. Otherwise, I just feel like it would be disingenuous. The message may be lost, you know, it may be miscommunicated, you know, because unlike Dream Daddy, which, I mean, looking at things, I'm considering Aaron and Danny are both married, not to each other, surprisingly enough. But they are not homosexuals. You know what I mean? They seem straight or bi, which is fine, you know. But they created Dream Daddy, but that was to be over the top and farcical. And that's why I think it's accepted as such. This story, especially considering the subject matter, is a very hot button topic, so to speak. So it should be taken seriously, in my opinion.
Very true.
All I know, all I wonder is, when are we getting our, because there's the Nerdgasm dating sim game. Come on.
Right. One day.
You need to write the story. I will create it with the virtual novel program I have.
There we go. There you go.
Yep. Or someone that wants to be created, be with all of our characters. Give us a tweet or something.
Oh God! Don't give the audience that sort of power. Yeah, if you've
written fan fiction involving the members of Nerdgasm, hit us with it.
Yep. You know,
we will not take offense. Excuse me, I got the burpums.
Go ahead, Joel. I have two things to finish
okay.
up.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, so next to the little trans stuff, unfortunately, due to transphobia and people making it no fun for certain groups of people, Awesome Games Done Quick will not be a actual thing at a location anymore due to the amount of problems they had of, one, COVID, people not following the rules, and two, due to transphobia that was happening at the actual event this past summer Games Done Quick.
AGDQ or yep. SGDQ, yeah.
Yep, AGDQ will be online only.
That's so unfortunate. And it is. I understand why, obviously. I just hope, in a matter of speaking, that the situation can be better in the future. It's just, it's so stupid.
It really is, in my opinion. And it deserves its own episode. It really does.
Like, I don't understand, and I never will understand. And yeah. I accept that, because, as I've said before, cisgender, heteronormative male. You know, I am the least informed on anything, practically, because in 99% of the circumstances, it doesn't affect me. Not to say that I don't care, but right. It's not something that I've had to deal with on a daily basis, like, ever. You know, the worst I've ever had to deal with is, haha, you're fat. And it's like, oh, well, that's not very nice.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just because you're a cis male doesn't mean that you couldn't, you know, you don't have feelings towards the manner. It's just, you know, there's just, we're not on the side of, oh, no, trans people are bad. No, it's like, leave people alone. They can do what they want, you know. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always been of the mindset, like, hey, you do you, you know, i.e. whatever you want to do, cool, you know? Just if I say, hey, that's not for me, or, you know, you do you, but, you know, I do not want to partake, whether it's anything under the sun, you know what I mean? And that's fine with me. And B, whatever you're doing, don't be a dick.
No, that's the golden rule. Don't be a dick. But let's move on. We go through that with Moo, and she will have a rant page. Oh, of whatever.
I'm sure. Well, I mean,
she's probably rampaging as she listens to this.
I was saying she has direct.
Yeah.
Family, practically. You know what I mean?
I have friends.
This kind of stuff does affect.
Yeah.
You know, not to count you out, Switch, no. Because I know that we talked previously.
Oh, well, that it is okay. You know, I identify as cis male, you know, openly and you know, in front of everybody. We're not going to change that. That's okay.
Okay.
But second game for the week. And it's a not this particular one, but it is Return to Monkey Island, Monkey Island is coming out this Monday as well. I don't know about this new art style they're going for, and it's going on Steam and the Switch, but I can see it working. Kind of like a, I don't know, it's, kind of a blocky style.
It's so funny how some people will love a game or a series, and then as soon as an art style changes, they automatically shut it down. Like, I remember when Wind Waker was announced and everybody was like, cell shading, and it was like, no, the game is actually good and I think the art style is cute, you know what I mean? Like, it's good for what it is.
Yeah, you know, but I still can't play it even in HD graphics.
That's fair.
It's also not the timeline I like.
When Pokemon Diamond and Pearl got re-released on Switch, and it was the chibi New Link's Awakening style, kind of. You know what I mean? And even the New Link's Awakening. This isn't what I grew up with. This isn't what I wanted. Don't ask for something, and then when we give it to you, shit on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I'd still play it. This new Return to Monkey Island. But it's just like, a vast difference, and it comes from a pixelated era into now a, you know, HD graphics, and you can probably fit the entire game on one character's face,
right?
Level of detail, but definitely.
I mean, look at doggone the King's Quest series was, like you said, the blocky kind of, like, you know, click and point, and now with the newest iteration of King's Quest, it's all 3D and moving and living, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Technically the same with Leisure Suit Larry. Like, that's evolved over the years. Its humor hasn't, but the graphics have.
This is the person that, coming from the person that was playing, let's see here. What was my game the other day? Sex and the Furry 2.
Yeah. Ah, I've heard it. Do I need to play the first one to be caught up with the story?
No. They're all separate little stories. It's fun. There's our little bit of sexiness for the episode.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and I think finish things up with the Geeky Wiki here. Might be a good recap to things right after Merlin goes ahead and shits on Pokemon Unite real quick.
I thought we were going to get away from it.
No! So, this week, Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey, a.k.a. earlier this week, Dodrio was released for Pokemon Unite, finally adding a new speedster to the roster. Sort of. By the time this goes out, you'll only have to wait approximately 3 or 4 days to be able to purchase it with EOS coins. That's right, Pokemon Unite decided to make the brilliant move of keeping this new playable character behind a paywall for the first week. In addition to releasing this particular character behind a paywall, they have not released any new fashion ticket cosmetics, nor have they released any new Holoware ticket cosmetics for your Pokemon. For those of you that don't know, the Holoware tickets and the fashion tickets are in-game currency that you can earn without spending money and can spend on cool cosmetics for your Pokemon or your trainer. Or at least you should be able to, except for they have not added any in a couple of months. And a lot of people are rightfully so upset about it. Coming soon, Scizor, followed surprisingly by Clefairy, which was kind of a shadow announcement that's coming out in October, kind of out of nowhere. I believe it's because the Moon Festival is taking place in October in Japan, and as we all know, Clefairy is the Moon Pokemon.
Came from an asteroid.
Yeah. See, I don't think that that was that long. Let's go ahead and jump into the Geeky Weeky, starting with Sunday, September 8th. That is, I'm going to get it wrong and Moo's going to hate me, Squish's birthday? So that is Mini Moo Squish's birthday. I am so sorry if I'm wrong. As well as your Sneaky Peeky was International Red Panda Day. In addition to those wonderful days, it's Hug a Greeting Card Writer Day. Does anybody actually know a greeting card writer?
Yes, actually.
You know, why am I not surprised that you would?
Well, so I live in one of those areas where, because we're so gentrified and touristy, that there's like an actual like they're $15 cards.
Hmm.
Right, so
It's also Chiropractic Founders Day, Locate an Old Friend Day, National Cheeseburger Day, National Colton Day, as in the name Colton. 12, do you also know somebody named Colton, I'm assuming?
I do not. That I'm aware of.
National First Love Day, National HIV, AIDS, and Aging Awareness Day, National Respect Day, Purple Bra Day, which helps bring awareness to breast cancer. And it is also Rice Krispies Treats Day. I love Rice Krispies Treats. Monday, September 19th, National Butterscotch Pudding Day, National Cat DNA Day. Thought I heard my dog. National Woman Road Warrior Day, Respect for the Age Day, or it also be Talk Like a Pirate Day, mateys. National Eye Health Week begins, Recycle Now Week, and World Reflexology Week. Tuesday, September 20th, German World Children's Day, National Care for Kids Day, National Dog Week, National Fried Rice Day. How do you guys like your fried rice? Do you just like egg fried rice, chicken fried rice, beef fried rice, shrimp fried rice?
I'm cool fried, egg fried, chicken fried. The beef, oddly enough, doesn't do it for me, even though I'm primarily like beef all the time. Nom nom nom.
There is a restaurant, not anymore, but was semi near Switch and I. It's now closest to me in S-Town that has what they call dragon fried rice, which is chicken, shrimp, and beef fried rice. It's very good. I especially love their little dumplings. Oh my god, the dumplings are so good. National IT Professionals Day. Hey, Switch, how you doing? National Pepperoni Pizza Day, National Punch Day, the drink. Don't go hitting people. National Queso Day, National String Cheese Day. Mama Sensei loves string cheese. She actually has a pack of string cheese at her work that she saves in the work fridge for her, 10 a.m. snack after she's been working for a while. Wednesday, September 21st, Escapeology Day. Which is all about, Houdini-type escaping, getting out of a straitjacket, or, different kind of daring do's that involve getting out of situations that are, you know, mostly scripted. David Blaine sort of does stuff like that, too. International Day of Peace, Stephen King's birthday, Miniature Golf Day. Now, here's the question. Is miniature golf the same as putt-putt, yes or no?
I say yes.
There's a difference?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if there is. Some people, I think, argue that putt-putt is for children. Miniature golf is for adults. You know what I mean? Kind of like,
Talking about the miniature adults. The purple car, you know.
Right.
It's, if anyone remembers that putt-putt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Putt-putt goes to the circus.
Yeah.
Putt-putt gets a dog. Putt-putt goes to the moon.
Yep.
it's also National Chai Day, so go ahead and get you some chai tea, right? Yes.
Yes.
National Garage Condo Day, National Hannah, Christina, and Brittany Day. Those are three separate names, of course. So, more name days, a lot of those. I didn't remember seeing those last year when I was doing the Geeky Wiki. National... Oh, Moo's gonna yell at me. Pecan Cookie Day.
Pecan. I don't care.
World Alzheimer's Day. World Gratitude Day. And Bill Murray's birthday. I wonder what kind of shenanigans he's gonna get up to. He always seems to get into shenanigans.
The trick with the pecans is to trigger both camps and say pecans.
Canes?
Thursday, September 22nd, Chainmail Day, and I am not talking about letters that you send to five of your friends or else you're going to be haunted by a ghost for the next 11 years. I'm talking about little loops of metal that create a piece of armor. So I'm all for it.
That's why that goes Diary in Day. The other room.
Hobbit Day to go with your Chainmail Day. If you can make it of Mithril, good for you. National Centenarians Day, which is people that are 100 years old or older. You have to honor those who have reached the age 100. Good for me in knowing what sentinel. National Dante Day. So go ahead and play Devil May Cry to celebrate Dante and his name. National Elephant Appreciation Day. National Girls' Night. National Girls' Night In Day. National Ice Cream Cone Day. National Khaled Day. DJ Khaled! Another one. National Singles Day. National Legwear Day. And World Rhino Day. And I guess we'll also say that it's Billy Piper's birthday.
Okay.
Not my favorite companion. But, you know, she can go ahead and get a shout out, I guess. Friday, September 23rd. Celebrate Bisexuality Day. The first day of autumn. Education Technology Day, National Apple Cider Vinegar Day. I hear if you take a shot of apple cider vinegar a day, it's supposed to be good for you. Don't quote me on it. You may want to look that one up and talk to your doctor before changing your dietary needs. National Baker Day, National Checkers Day. Surprisingly, I don't think we're talking about the board game. We're talking about Checkers, the dog that belonged to Richard M. Nixon. So this particular National Checkers Day celebrates all the dogs that are in politics, so to speak, or canines that have belonged to political figures. It's also National Go With Your Gut Day. Which, as much as I would like to say that means go with your first instinct because it's usually correct, no, of course, we're talking about gut health. So go ahead and keep that in mind. Get your delicious probiotics and your yogurts and all that good stuff. and make sure that your gut is nice and healthy and happy. National Snack Stick Day, such as, hashtag not sponsored, Slim Jims. Snap into a Slim Jim! It's also Redhead Appreciation Day. And to me, that's every day.
Every day.
I love a redhead. I'm looking at you, 12. How you doing, baby?
How you doing?
Seed gathering season begins, so that way you can go ahead and start planning for the spring thaw when you're ready to go ahead and start planting again. And it is also the September equinox. Saturday, September 24th, we'll be talking about Ancestors Day, Fish Amnesty Day, DJ Ghost's birthday. I don't know who that is. I just like the name DJ Ghost. International Lace Day. International Rabbit Day. National Cherries Jubilee Day. Not my favorite. Like I said, I don't like cooked cherries, but hey. Oh! National Ghost Hunting Day! I knew there had to be more ghost stuff around here.
Yeah, at least around a phasmophobia.
I know, right? We probably should. National Horchata Day. National Hunting and Fishing Day. National Mofongo Day. Save Your Photos Day. And World Bollywood Day. Bollywood comes up with some crazy stuff, man. Your sneaky peeky at next week's Geeky Weeky that starts with Sunday, September 5th. Let us all praise him, Mark Hamill's birthday. Whether you know him as the Joker, Luke Skywalker, the Trickster, or just about any other voice acting or acting that you've ever seen, Mark Hamill is a national treasure. And that is the Geeky Weeky. Like I said, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of Gasm stuff to talk about this week. Tell you what, we'll try and make it up to you next week when Moo joins us again. And maybe we'll go ahead and jump through the nerdy stuff super quick and give her, a time to shine. But until next time, friends, thank you for watching, listening, interacting, and all that good stuff. Please try and remember to be excellent to each other. Also, remember to love yourself, give yourself grace, and do the third thing that Moo always says.
Remember to stretch before and after bed?
There you go.
Yep. And just because they're furries, this $10 game is really fun. You should actually play the furries. It actually goes the sex and the furry titties too. Sin in the City.
Mm. Look, I'm a lightweight furry. We've talked about it before. Am I going to go out and get a fursuit? Probably not. Would I like to meet somebody with a fursuit? Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
They're fun people.
I like to do cuddles with someone in a fursuit? Yes. But respectfully, again, I am a cis hetero male. So, female furries, what's up?
They're out there. Get no worries.
But until next time, friends, I have been Merlin Sensei. You have all been absolutely fantastic. Bye for now.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, friends.
Yeah, we filled that hour up. No problem.